It is good to see everybody here this midweek Bible study and service. As we've been doing this month, we're talking about being intentional with our evangelism. And the people that I have been tasked to be intentional with and present on is coworkers. It's been a long time since I've talked about something other than beating your children. It's a joke. The last three times it was discipline in the house, Freisingers. I don't beat the children much. So it is good. That was a Royce, Mr. Williamson joke, maybe. So coworkers, let's focus here now on how we can be intentional with our coworkers. And I want to throw out a statistic that I found online through the U.S. Bureau of Labor. The average American is awake for 15 hours a day. Okay, average working American. Of that time, 8.49 hours are spent at work. Okay, if you are a mathematician, you can do the math, but trust me, it's 57-ish% that you are with or without, or you are outside of your home. Okay, you're at work. Unless you work by yourself, you know, you could be a farmer and you're just in your tractor the whole time. Most of us work at places of work where we have coworkers, which means that 56% of our day is spent with people that aren't our family members. Unless, again, you work with your family members. But that's not the norm, okay? So why is this a topic that we can talk about? Because the majority of our awake hours on the weekdays are not even spent with the people that we hold dearest to us, okay? It's spent with coworkers. So the term majority fits right here, majority of our time. You can look at definitions of majority. One of them is that it is the greater of the shares, okay? So if you have like five things that, you know, if they could all be at 10%, then one of them's at, you know, 60%, right? Majority. Or in this case, anything more than 50% of your time is considered your majority, okay? It's just like stereotypes, right? White men can't jump. 50% of us can't. So there it is, right? 51% of us or more. Majority, okay? That's a thing that you can smile about a little bit, okay? Some of us white guys can't jump. But we have to realize the importance of our coworkers. We have to realize the importance of the Great Commission when it says, go out into the world, reach every nation, right? Well, every nation is right there, 56% of your awake time during the weekday with somebody that's not your family member. Very important. They may not be the low-hanging fruit of conversions, right? Because they don't hold you to the same value that your family may hold you at. Right? If you go to your family member and say, you have got to obey the gospel, you have to, that family member is going to listen to you probably better than some of your coworkers because they already hold you with such esteem because you're a family member. Right? We see that with Lydia. Lydia took the apostles into her household and said, listen to these men. Okay? And they trusted what Lydia had to say. Same with the jailer. Right? Well, your coworkers aren't that easy sometimes compared to your family members that already have a respect for you because they've known you for so long and they love you so much. So these are actually like the low-hanging fruits of opportunity. Okay? Don't look at it as this is going to be the low-hanging fruit of conversions. This is the low-hanging fruit of opportunities for conversions because you're with them so much. I'd like to focus on three ways that perhaps aren't direct evangelical ways to influence our coworkers towards the gospel. Okay? These are things that you can continue to do your work every day, but they can see something in you that perhaps isn't, hey, you need to go to church. Hey, you need to be baptized. Hey, you know, they can just see something about you. Here's three things to think about, okay, when we're at work. Our work ethic. Okay, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15. And it reads, do all things without complaining and disputing that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay? We are not to do things without murmurings and disputings because it's good for us, but why? Because it's good for everyone else around us. Okay? We are the light of the world. You can turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 25. Let's see this one. Colossians chapter 3, 22 through 25. Bond servants, talking about workers, people that are under authority, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Okay? Are you doing the hard work for yourself or for the boss? Okay, if it were up to you and you could get by with this, right, and you had no expectations from your boss, would you automatically go and try to do more? A lot of us wouldn't. But we can show with a proper work ethic or proper work attitude the Christian principles. It says for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're working for God in reality. You're an example. It's not really for the boss. Okay? The other thing, next one, language, okay? Language, Proverbs chapter 16, verses 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. And it reads, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Okay? Pleasant words. Is it because you're saying pleasant words to yourself that you feel like honeycomb and it's so sweet? No, it's for the hearer, okay? For the hearer here. We got to use some logic. It's good for them, all right? It's good for them. This is kind of echoed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Turn over there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it reads, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Okay? If we are just speaking profanities, just like the rest of the world is, we're not doing the hearer any good. Okay? The way we use our language, the way we speak, the words that we choose to use, the topics that we choose to talk about, are an example to those that hear it. And if 56% of our day is spent with these people, they should be hearing good things out of us. It's good for them. Okay? In both passages. You can write down Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 if you want to. You can put that in your notes as well. We don't have time for that. Third thing is hospitality. Okay? Hospitality outside of the workplace. You ever invited a coworker to your home? That's a big uncomfortable thing. I promise. It's not easy. But you want to know who it means a lot to? Your coworker. It means a whole lot to them. Okay? We're told in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, which in my Bible, it's labeled, live like a Christian. Okay? That whole 9 through 21 is live like a Christian. That's the little sub article that the Bible writers put in there. Not the prophetic or the inspired writers of the Bible, but those who put you know what I'm saying, right? Okay, so those guys thought it was a good idea to label it that. And it makes a lot of sense. Read through those things, okay? Verse 13 includes being hospitable, okay? Being hospitable. It's even a qualification of elders. Titus chapter 1, verse 8. These are what we should consider the elite leaders, the ones who have these magnificent qualifications of morality. Okay? Things that God says has to be there in order to be a leader in His church. Okay? And one of them is being hospitable. If you, as an elder, can't invite someone to your home, you're not qualified. You're not hospitable. Okay? So we should aim for that goal in our lives as well. If we need to look at our leadership as a goal, that leadership is an elder. And if it's a goal, a qualification of an elder, it needs to be a qualification for us. Invite your coworkers to your house. You don't even have to invite them to your house. Invite them to a ball game. Buy them some peanuts, Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we ever get back. Right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let's turn over there. This is a fun one. Some people take it out of, little bit more than what they should, I believe. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Okay? Is it 13, verse 2? No, that's not it. Yes, it is. Do not forget. Let's start in verse 1. Why not? It's the beginning of the chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Okay? This is part of that let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. We know that that has happened in the Old Testament, okay? They're familiar with this. Abraham did this, right? We know that the strangers came in. Lot entertained angels, okay? Some people try to use that as angelic beings today, okay, and miraculous things, and we know that those things are all finished and complete because we have the Word of God. But let's don't forget about the first part of that. Do not forget to entertain strangers, and it's linked right in there with brotherly loves. Brotherly love, okay? You do those three things with your coworkers, they're going to notice something. You'll get to start a conversation about God, okay? Especially when you're inviting them to be with your family. They're going to see that your kids are different. They're going to see that they're well-behaved. They're going to see that they're not cussing, okay? They're going to see that you don't cuss and that you have rules in your house, and they're going to admire that. They really do. Even households that don't have any rules admire houses that have rules. They do. This is a great opportunity. You don't have to go out and beat them with the Bible. You can do this with your own aura, for lack of a better term. Okay? I was told one time I have a terrible vocabulary, and it shows when I have to use the word aura. Okay? I can't think of anything better. But that's the truth. Our coworkers, we spend so much time with them. They need to see that we're different from the rest of the world. It will provoke conversations about Jesus. We need to make sure that all of our actions provoke conversations about Jesus. Okay? But we can't just stop there. We really do have to talk about Jesus with our coworkers. Okay? We really do. We have to take the opportunities when they do ask the questions. We have to. Their souls matter just as much as our soul does. This is not necessarily an evangelical type lesson where we're having a call for repentance, obeying the gospel. We didn't look at a lot of passages about repentance or the gospel or the necessity for Christ. But the invitation is always here at this congregation, anytime we meet, to obey the gospel. If you need to know what the gospel is, I know that we have men here that will gladly have Bible studies with you. Okay? I'm one of them. May not be the best teacher, as you can tell, but I'm well one of them. I'm available. But maybe you know what the gospel is, and you know that you have to become a child of Christ through baptism. You have to reach that blood because you've already been studying it. You haven't made that commitment to God. You haven't made that choice. You got to do it. You have to. Or maybe you have made that commitment, and you have strayed away from your commitment. And you have joined the crowd of the world. You have been cussing like a sailor at work. You've joined in all the dirty jokes. You have not been hospitable. Your work ethic has been awful when the boss isn't looking and they're all seeing it. You can fix that right where you're at. It's just a change of mind. But if you need the prayers of the congregation, you're invited to. So if you need salvation or you need the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.